AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Sam, right?
Yep, Sam.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
Not too bad. A lot better than the day I was supposed to be.
You were supposed to work on the weekend of the blizzard, right?
Yes, I was. Yes.
Well, I'm glad. People don't understand what a really good radio station this is to work for. I have been there when the owners call. I don't care if it's a foot and a half of snow and you can't see 5 feet in front. You got a sports show you got to do. People got to hear about women's basketball. Come on, Matt. I've had that guy. That is just a god-awful experience. But I'm glad we made the call here. He's like, you know what? I don't think we need to kill any of our employees today.
I don't think anyone would have made it in here if we tried to.
No, I don't think they would have. But the good news is it's all gone. Good to have you here, and glad you're not dead. So let's hear it for Sam not dying on the blizzard. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. But what could kill you off, Sam, is measles. That's right. You know, if you've heard this show every once in a while, I've ripped on the anti-vaxxers because people that rip on vaccines don't realize how many people used to die of very treatable diseases. And the fact that basically before inoculation started in, people would live to, about 50, maybe a grand old age of 55. Now people pretty much regularly live to 100. The average, I think, lifespan is, 81 now? That's average. It is something we have. Vaccines have definitely, helped us out. My mom was a nurse, and so when I was younger, this wasn't even a question. And of course, she saw the benefits, and she read the research herself. But there are some people that, don't want to do it. A person infected with measles visiting southeastern Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa exposed the public to a highly contagious disease at various restaurants and other public places during a 4-day span this month. By the way, who wants more dipping sauce, huh? Oh, boy. Delicious. The infected individual was from Missouri. Damn you. Show me something. I'll show you something. Was from Missouri. The state that is currently reporting several cases of measles. The Minnesota Health Department spokesman Doug Schultz said none of these states have reported any infections attributed to these exposures yet. The window for symptoms arise usually roughly from April 23rd to May 7th. As of late last week, there have been more than 20 reported cases of measles in the Kansas City, Missouri metro area and elsewhere in Kansas near the Missouri border. Okay, note to self, KC is off the list of visiting places. Come try our barbecue and our communicable diseases. Coincidentally, these infections and exposures in the Midwest are reported during National Immunization Week. Hint, hint. this is not, as I'm joking, this is not to be messed with. I mean, people die of measles. So Minnesota Health Department says the exposures occurred April 13th. Now, I'm going to run these here. These are all in the southeastern part of the state. So before anyone gets, it's not like they were, licking posts over in Uptown, okay? So just FYI, although I've got a plan tonight. So here you go. April 13th at McDonald's on Main Street in Winona. April 16th at the Freeboard County Co-op gas station on Margaretta Avenue in Albert Lea in Wisconsin. The La Crosse and Tupelo County Health Departments listed the following times and places where exposures occurred. Evening of the 23rd at Beatles Bar and Restaurant in Galesville. April 13th through the 16th at the Comfort Inn in Onalaska. April 14th at the Dollar Tree in Onalaska. 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. on April 15th at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Galesville. The afternoon of April 15th, Champions Riverside Resort in Galesville. The evening of the 14th, the Fairfield Inn in La Crosse. The evening of the 15th, Texas Roadhouse in La Crosse. Now, I'm sorry. You went there. The exposure in Iowa occurred at two locations. The morning of April 13th at Hardee's at the Morrill-Hay Road in Des Moines. Is that Frisco style? No, never mind. Also during the afternoon at the Panera Bread in Ankeny. Boy, it's chewy this time. I'm not sure why. Anyway, if you were at any of those places, especially at where's Beatles Bar and Restaurant in Galesville, watch out. You could get the measles because reasons. It's not as bad as the Disneyland. My God, remember that a few years back? The guy went into Disneyland with the disease?
I don't recall that at all, but that just makes zero sense why you'd go to such a populated place with
kids. I've got a fever, sweating, I'm breaking out in a rash. Hey, how about the Dumbo ride? No, and of course, in California, they've got all these people who are anti-vaxxers, and so it's spread like wildfire. But, you know, hey, I guess their argument is nothing makes a kid healthier than 106-degree temperature for a week and a half. 952-946-6205. Dear Lord. I want to congratulate – oh, by the way, I should mention Jeff McGillicuddy-Stein joining us. We'll get to the Steiner a little bit later on this hour as we'll get into the national news. A little bit of that coming up too, but – I want to give Aaron May Quaid just an absolute big, massive round of applause as she was 24 hours on the Minnesota House floor, absolutely killing it as a kind of a protest, a sit-in to protest the fact that the Republican Party of Minnesota is not doing anything to address gun violence in the state of Minnesota. And to her credit, she was a one person powerhouse on this issue going on down there. A lot of Democrats showing up and showing their support. You know, she's getting a lot of, you know, the statewide politicians, Tina Smith commenting on it and coming under in her statement there. Jacob Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis, also chiming in on this. It just was an absolute wonderful thing that she did, and I can't tell you it's in the one of the worst parts about our current system right now is that the Republicans, and I know people say, well, everyone politicizes. There is some politics on the Democratic side. I'm not going to try to play stupid there, but it's not like the Republican side where we talked about this yesterday, the sexual harassment bills. Everything is politicized. The reason why they could not come out with a sexual harassment bill last year after the Schoen and the Cornish situation, they couldn't because they wanted to maximize the political potential of said bill. That's why. That is the only reason why. And hence, they basically went on out there and hopefully no one got sexually harassed. No one was sexually assaulted while the Republicans in the Minnesota House twiddled their thumbs waiting for time until they could basically get Karen Housley in the Senate as the bill sponsor in the Senate so that she'll have something to run on her Senate campaign. Look at me. I'm not really a far-right conservative stooge that voted for Trump. I'm okay sometimes. That was hard to do, by the way. Thank you. That's why I only do one show a day. but I mean, it's kind of one of those situations where it's disappointing beyond disappointing that they can't just go on out and do. I mean, even there's some things that are just no-brainer. There are things no-brainer. It's like the Minnesota ID, the real ID thing. There came a point, I get it, back when Pawlenty and this thing first came on out, you guys talked about big government, and you don't want to be part of a database until it was transgender bathroom rights, and then all of a sudden, we need to make the biggest database in the history of mankind and register everyone with their birth certificate. Man, everything about you guys is political. Everything. And so what the Republicans are trying to do right now, is they're trying to basically get to the end of the session unscathed so that when they start running for re-election, then they can lie to your face and tell you, well, I really was for gun control. Because it's a 90% issue. 90% of the people of the state of Minnesota want gun control. 90. This is a real dangerous place for them to be because they know it's their re-election campaign funds versus, and of course their primary voters versus everyone else in the state. And they know that they basically can't win tap dancing. So they're waiting. They're going to wait. And then they're going to talk about, well, I'm for common sense gun regulations. I'm for common sense gun rights. Whoever said I wasn't? You guys did when you basically stonewalled every bill that's coming down here. Like I said, I mean, this guy that shot up the Waffle House, I mean, naked and eating his toes, and you guys are like, oh, well, how dare you think about taking away that man's AR-15? You don't even want to do anything to try to stop this mess. Aaron McQuaid, the representative, is out there on the floor trying to make this issue an important issue for you guys. Not because you can lie your way, but maybe, just maybe, you should try to pass something. Maybe. Try this out. Try to pass a bill with some common sense gun regulation, and then you can campaign on that. And sure, I get you. In your, some of your more conservative districts, I get it. Republicans are going to be, you know, a little more angry. But at 90% issue, and the fact that Republicans are clearly staying at home in these current elections, I got news for you. It's an issue that could help you guys. But because, once again, you're betrothed to the gun money, you're not going to. Ron Latz tomorrow is going to try to get a floor vote on two of the initiatives in the Senate. Good for you, Senator. He's my senator, by the way. Ron Latz is my senator. Fantastic senator. He's going to try that. I mean, Democrats, you should be hammering on this every single day. If you are challenging a Republican anywhere within four suburbs of Minneapolis or St. Paul, this should be your rallying cry. Because whereas out in rural Minnesota, it might not be as good an issue, it still is a good issue out there, but it might not be as good. I guarantee you, you're in Plymouth, you're in Wayzata, you're in Chanhassen. I mean, these gun violence, these gun slaughters in our schools are not just happening at inner city schools. They're happening at multiple schools in wealthy communities as well as poor communities. It happens everywhere. Bullets do not see anything but a target. And so it should be champion number one. By the way, go for healthcare after that. Right away, seriously, put them on healthcare, put them on the gun issue. And then, do you support Trump? Did you vote for him? And when they say that's out of line, no, Republicans like to play tough. And so when it's a Democrat, they're like, did you vote for Obama? Remember that? They've done that a lot. Oh, by the way, I did twice. And before that, I voted for John Kerry, Al Gore, Clinton twice. You know, it's how it goes, you know? I vote Democrat. And by the way, Democrats, if you can't answer that damn question, then you should not be running. You shouldn't be. But throw this back in their face. Who did you vote for? Because Hillary Clinton's not on any of these tickets. And as much as the Republicans, I mean, the Republicans are saying, we're going to make our entire message this 2018 about Hillary Clinton. Well, it sure tells you a lot about what you have not been able to do if after 2 years of unfettered control, you, the best you can come up with is trying to bring back the 2016 presidential loser and trying to use that as a weapon in 2018. Hammer these guys. And once again, in Minnesota, trust me, all these Republicans, especially the suburban ones, they're all waiting. Please, just let me get through the end of session. Get to the end of session. Then they can go, hey, NRA guys, don't worry. We're out of session, so there's no bill. I'm going to talk pretty harsh against guns, but wink, 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 wink. I'm still one of your, you know, rated A gun voters, okay? Just, you know, I got to win the seat. I vote F ratings, by the way, for the NRA. You read an F rating? You got my vote. Abso-freaking-lutely. But, you know, don't let them get away. Don't keep hammering on them. When was there ever been another issue where 90% of the people want something done and the political party in charge is refusing to do anything? They're wanting to... They're wanting to make this the anchor they tie themselves to. Well, adios. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Come on back. I do want to talk a little bit about what happened in Arizona and why it makes me mad the DFL doesn't have better candidates in some of these Republican districts. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Crooner Dinner's Lounge and Supper Club is delighted to offer its spacious facilities for your private function. From weddings, retirement parties, business dinners, or any special occasion, Crooners combines a dedicated full-service special events team, an award-winning chef, and a beautiful lakeside ambiance to make your event a resounding success. Visit croonersloungemn.com to learn more about their private dining options or call 763-571-9020 to get a quote for your next event today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Someone asked if I really do love my Rudy Luther Toyota Sienna as much as I say I do. Well, this week I've got groceries, a Target run, 7 sports practices with carpooling for 4 of them, 2 games, 3 music lessons, 4-H, dance, helping a friend move. We'll also probably have 3 play dates. I'll have to drive to work and I'll have at least 1 weekend family outing. Yes, it's a lot, but I get to do it all in relaxing comfort and style. Yes, I do love my Sienna, and you can fall in love for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
The Spring St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, will be running April 27th, 28th, and 29th. This is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you'll have the chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artist studios, lofts, and galleries. Hosting over 350 artists, up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 34 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for you to own. When you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community with free transit passes. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at the stpaulartcrawl.org. That's the stpaulartcrawl.org.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. There's a reason why you can't let these Minnesota Republicans run and hide or allow them to change the narrative like they're trying to do with the sexual harassment bill. I mean, once again, the first question that they should ask is they say, well, we champion sexual harassment policy, so why didn't you get it done last fall? And can you say definitively no one was sexually harassed or sexually assaulted at the Capitol in the time it took for you guys to finally, you know, get a bill out there that you could put Karen Housley's name on? Because that's called dragging your feet and politicizing an issue that should be a no-brainer, take care of the business. But the Republicans do this all the time. Remember the mining, the extension of unemployment benefits for the miners? We have money in a pile waiting to do that. We could do it. And Republicans demanded that wealthy people need their tax breaks first. They politicized everything. But what is scaring Republicans right now, and what you're about to see, you are about to see the great Republican whitewash, or they're white, pretty white already, so wash. Okay, we'll do it that way. The great Republican rebranding. Because mark my words, after Arizona last night, so in case you didn't know, there was a special election for a congressional seat in Arizona. This is a 21, this was not some toss-up district. This was the equivalent of a Minnesota 6. This is Tom Emmer-like district. And it was a 21-point win for the Republican a year and a half ago. It was a 5-point win for the Republican yesterday. That's right, Republican won, but not by much. When you put this, remember about 2 months ago, we had Cornish's special election seat up. And that was a very Republican district as well. That was a 34-point margin a year and a half ago. Back in February, it was 19. Another 15-point makeup in hard Republican districts. In hard Republican districts, they're losing 15%. In toss-up districts, it's closer to 2022. And that is something that is scaring the crud out of Republicans. Don't think they're taking any solace off this win in Arizona. That is a stark reminder, and it backs up pretty much every special election we've seen since then. Every one of these races, sure, there have been some Republican wins, but they are in landslide territory the last time, and this time they're 14 to 17 points, depending on it. So 15 is a good ratio. 14 to 17 points is the difference. They are losing that much ground. That's Republicans staying at home. That's disenfranchised Trump supporters. That's Democrats being energized. And it scares the crud. Because here's the other underlying story here. Republicans outspent the Democrats in that race by about 2-1. That doesn't include the dark money coming in, which by all accounts in that Arizona race was about 8-1 for the Republican. And they still lost 16 technically. They still lost 16 with a massive money advantage. They still lost 16 points. And trust me, in that race, they cannot spend like that coming up here in November. They can't. They can do it. They can focus it now on these special elections, but they sure cannot maintain this when everything's on the table. They're, once again, they're outspending Democrats 3-1 in local races, in statewide races, and in federal races. And they're still losing 15 points. This is not been seen in a long time. This is a complete rejection of the Republican Party and their brand, because once again, it's the grass is always greener thing I mentioned the other day. Oh, they sat for how many years and said, trust us, go to our side of the fence and the grass was going to be greener. The grass is dead. It's an arid desert on the other side, and they have no intention of making things better. Have zero intention of that. But now Hillary Clinton, I mean, this is where they're at. It's Obama's fault that Trump won. I mean, seriously, this is where they're at. They are losing amazing amounts of voter bloc, even with massive money advantages, even in gerrymandered districts. They can't maintain this. Ian Todd is the Democrat running up in the Minnesota 6th District. Get him whatever he needs. Now, I'll be the first to say, you don't know about Minnesota 6, on Ballotopia right now, Emmer won by 31. So it was a pretty big landslide there. In 2014, it was 18 points. And so, you know, it's a race where it's going to be very hard to knock off Tom Emmer. I hope Ian Todd, you get out there, you keep hammering home. Good luck. All my best. But think about the damage that can be done in the Minnesota 6th District itself with an Ian Todd. If he puts a good campaign together, campaigns that entire district and hammers it home and helps the state House representatives in that district, how many House seats in Minnesota 6 will flip to the Democrats? if it's 15 points is a pretty good margin in real Republican districts, most of St. Cloud's going to go Democrat. There's a lot of races that, I mean, sure, you've got some races which are pretty safe. But 15 points across the board, there's going to be a pickup in Democratic seats in the 6th district. I'm not talking about 1 or 8 or 4 or 5. I'm talking about in 6. This is the Republican-made district. Democrats will make pickups there. Hammer these guys. Hammer them and don't relent. Don't try to become Republican light. Don't get off message. Be proud Democrats and hammer away. You've got a 15-point lead at this point as you start the game. And if you play the game right, not only will we see Democrats control all the statewide offices. We'll see two Democratic senators. We'll likely see at least six Democrats in the House, possibly seven. And you'll see a Minnesota House go back to the Democrats. And that is attainable. Oh, Matt, that's a lot of seats. Trust me, 15 points. You go out, go to Ballotopia, go through any of the races. You tell me how many Republicans from last year when they had Trump on the ticket as an unknown quantity can sustain the known quantity that is Donald Trump this time around. You think, you know, Jennifer Loon, Dario Anselmo? You think Sarah Anderson? You think Cindy Pugh? There are a lot of Republicans right now that are looking at these races and asking themselves, all right, the best I can hope for is a 10-point drop. Just do that. Go against what we are seeing with our own eyes, a 15-point advantage. Just do a 10. Tell me how many Republicans in the metro area will survive that. Run hard. Hammer these guys. Punch back. Trump's an idiot. Republicans in the Minnesota House have only been for big business and big business only. They can't get sexual harassment policy passed in even a competent period of time. They can't get any gun bills passed in the state of Minnesota. And what are we going to do about health care? Because it's your party in charge, and right now our health care is in a lot worse condition than it was 2 years ago. Be ruthless, because the Republicans are expecting you to be nice. The hell with them. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When we do return, hopefully, Jeff Stein will join us to give us his wisdom? No, that's not it. Incompetence. That's it. There it is. Close. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Hello, AM 950 listeners. I am Tabitha Montgomery, Executive Director of Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association, taking a moment to extend a very warm invitation to our first annual Powderhorn Shark Tank competition, where our stellar panel of jurors have already selected several dozen amazing ideas from local makers, hustlers, and entrepreneurs from across Minneapolis. So mark your calendars for Saturday, May 19th between 2:30 p.m. and 6 p.m. at Powderhorn Park Recreation Center, where you can join the fun and cast your vote for your favorite ideas across our expanding, emerging, and startup categories. You can also plan to enjoy the Shark Tank Marketplace, which will be stocked with many local businesses, and also connect with a dozen or so business resources in our speed coaching zone if you're also working on your own big idea. See you on Saturday, May 19th.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 63. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 39. Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 59. And Friday, sunny with a high around 65. The St. Paul Art Crawl is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The Art Crawl has hosted dozens of locations throughout the city as visitors are welcomed into galleries, artist studios, and unique spaces to not only meet and engage local artists, but also to buy local art. More details, including free transit passes, at stpaulartcrawl.org.
St. Paul Art Crawl is amazing. Go check that out. And by the way, I was just informed by Brett here, Ian Todd, Minnesota 6th District, Democrat. He's on with McEntee today, 4:30? 4:30. Be right here. Great Wall is the localminnesota.com restaurant of the week. About 45th and France in Edina, fantastic food. I love that place. You know, when you have a Chinese restaurant that's been going since 1981, seriously, that's nice. Because that means they're good. I mean, in the day and age where I can list off hundreds of restaurants that open and close every 5-10 years, the fact that one of these restaurants has gone on for so long tells you how good their food is. It's delicious. And the Sichuan food there is authentic. It's really, really good. Go try it. It's Great Wall, just north of 50th and France in Edina. It's the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. He is a noted author. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com, totallyiowa.com. iowawatch.org is his public service show down in Iowa, and he is joining us from the palatial broadcasting complex of KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hey, Jeff.
Matthew, a good Wednesday afternoon to you.
It's got to be better for you down there. I mean, most of the snow has melted down there yet?
Yeah, literally 1 week ago today where I am at, we got 4 inches of snow. Now it is 61 degrees. I think the last of the snow left my property probably this morning. There was just a little stalwart there in the corner, but I think it's probably gone. So I'm a happy person.
We got to get knee-high by July. We need to get working on that. So let's talk. I was talking before you came on last segment here a little bit about this Arizona race and the applications across the board. Jeff, I know it's always to try to not to take one race as a litmus test. But here we are yet once again. This was not a toss-up seat. This was not a lean Democrat that a Republican managed to pick up. This was a 20-point Republican seat a year and a half ago in Arizona. It closed by 16. And what you and I have seen over and over and over again is in traditional far-right Republican districts, that 15 is pretty consistent. We saw that here even in a state race on a replacement of one of the state house reps. It was a 15-point swing. On districts where it's leans Republican 2 or 3 to toss up, these are turning into 20, 21-point swings. We haven't seen anything like this since 1932 as far as the potential outcome on this. And once again, it should also be mentioned, the Republicans and especially the 501c3s, the campaign groups that are out there, these dark money groups that throw money in there, the money advantage in that race was overwhelming for the Republican, and they still lost 15 points. At what point do we look at this and say the Republicans are in big trouble?
Well, you do right now. And here's the thing, as you properly pointed out, you cannot look at any one of these races and see a trend. But how many of these races have we now had?
Yeah.
Okay, and again, the pattern as you laid out is all the same. Now, the one caveat I throw out there is...
Did we just lose him? Yeah, we just lost him. Okay.
No, I'm still here. Oh, okay. I can hear you.
Okay, good. Oh, there you are. You're back. For a second there, we lost you for a second. You said the one caveat, that's where we lost you, is what you said. There's one caveat here.
Well, I think your sensors are getting too actively involved. No, the one caveat is that these are all special elections. Uh-huh. And so those who are against the status quo are more inclined to show up because they're more motivated. And so that is the only thing left that you can use as an excuse if you're on the right. The only thing that you can now say is, well, those were all special elections. When we have a midterm election and lots of people showing up, that'll be different. Well, I'm just not feeling it. I think they need to be scared, and I think they need to be scared right down now.
Well, and of course, the two responses I would have to that, one are midterm elections usually don't go the way of the party of the man in the White House. And then two, I don't know if you saw this story last week. The Republican National Committee has come up, their strategy to attack the Democrats in 2018 is Hillary Clinton. That is seriously, they're going to try to tie all these guys to Hillary Clinton. And the first thing I saw, and I think it was one of the anchors on CNN said, nothing says we have nothing to campaign on after 2 years of being solely in charge of everything more than basically bringing up the guy that lost the last election to try to win.
You're absolutely right. And for these Republicans to be saying over and over, hey, Hillary needs to get over it. The Democrats have to move on. Everybody's got to move on past the election. So then they want to bring her back up. I've said you can't even use Nancy Pelosi as the horrible figure, you know, the straw person out there. They're going back to Hillary Clinton. I mean, it's maddening because to some degree, you know, as I've said before, the Democrats keep pointing at Trump. Well, at least he's in office. He's not on the ballot. So I don't think that's a great strategy on their part, but it's a possible strategy. But for the Republicans to invoke the name of Hillary Clinton, again, devoid of ideas, it's called let's point at anything other than the guy in the White House.
It also is interesting because you and I have, for how many years we've talked about politics and we've talked about elections, you know, it's money generally has been a major decider that usually the people that are outspending the other side, whether it's 2-1, 3-1, sometimes even 16, 17-1, depending on the race. But whoever's outspending the guy on the election generally is almost, I would say in the past has won 75-80% of the time. It's pretty much it's a big indicator who's going to win. Money, sure. When you look at the Pennsylvania 18 race, you look at the Alabama race, you look at now in Arizona, you look at these races across the country, and the money just does not seem to matter, which is, this is new frontier for us.
There are a couple of things about money, and I think it was today in the Iowa Politics Report I mentioned this. The Republican National Committee is crowing about their fundraising, that they bring in twice as much each month as the Democrats and have through this whole cycle. Absolutely true. The DNC has very little cash on hand, only $9 million, and then they've got, what, $6 million of debt. But here's the big distinction. The Republicans may be getting big money to the RNC, but are they going to be smart enough to place it in the races where it needs to be placed? A lot of that is Paul Ryan bringing a bunch of money in. Well, that's obviously going to dry up. As far as the Democrats are concerned, I don't know that the folks on the left should be horribly concerned that the DNC is not raising a bunch of money for this reason. A lot of Democrats are mad at the DNC because of how things were handled in 2016. I assert that Tom Perez has not been a good leader, but I think that those same Democrats, as opposed to giving money nationally to see it be mismanaged, they're giving it race by race.
Yeah,
and that is going to allow a lot of flexibility to just use a fire hose and throw money directly. And so for the Republicans to sit back and say, oh, the Democrats are bankrupt, well, they may be nationally, but let's watch each individual congressional district because, again, as you have appropriately noted, these special elections have been tighter than Republicans want them to be or that they should be. Realistically,
and 15 points is not an anomaly anymore. That's what's happening. I would agree wholeheartedly. I think your point exactly. I'm getting myself. I get the please give to the Congressional Democratic Fund, the House U.S. House Federal Democratic Fund, the Senate Democratic Fund. Help out here. I'm like, no. I'm giving to my local races. I'm giving individually, and I think I've talked to other people that are doing this. I think you're spot on with that. I think the trouble what they're having is, if you're looking at the top of the pile, it doesn't look that there's much there, but the pile is huge at the bottom because these individual races, politics is local, and you've said this for years, and it really is shining through, and this is how the Democrats, when we went back to 2006 and how they won the House and the Senate, politics were local, and they were able to win with that message, and in 2008. This is kind of going back to that mentality, and this is a dangerous path for the Republicans because, as you said, it's not just where does the money go, but what about races which you weren't planning on having to spend money in, and now you're having to spend money in because it was only a 7-point win for the Republicans last time around.
I mean, if you just want to go with the numbers, playing off of what you just said, which I agree with, if the RNC wants to say, oh, yeah, we've got twice as much money as the Democrats, they're going to need it to shore up the red state base in places where they shouldn't be spending money. They're not only going to need a ton of money in competitive races, open seats, districts that are less predictable, more purple than red or blue, but they're going to have to spend a ton of money just to get people to show up. in supposedly safe seats. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they better raise $80 million extra because it's probably not going to be enough.
All right. It's a quiz for you. Actually, just your opinion here. We're going to I want you to know. Mm-hmm. I want to find out from Jeff, who do you think is the most incompetent Trump administration official of the last few days? Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke claimed to be a geologist numerous times, including under oath, and he's not actually a geologist. You have Mike Mulvaney, the head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, who is now on record as saying, if you're a lobbyist and you pay me, I'll give you time. If you're a lobbyist and you don't pay me, I'm not going to give you time. Or EPA Director Scott Pruitt, who not only is still having his money issues, like a brand new car that he basically got that he didn't need to get. And, of course, he broke the rules on his soundproof phone booth in his office because it cost too much. But now you find out that there are people with sketchy pasts that are friends of his that are now inherited major roles within the Environmental Protection Agency. So, in your opinion, who's having the worst week of the administration officials?
I am shocked that you don't have game show music playing in the background because this is what it sounds like, right? I mean, it's a combination of what's my line and to tell the truth. I'm going to say that Mulvaney has the best week of the ones you mentioned because he at least was honest about it. If you're bringing money in, I'll talk to you. If you're not bringing money in, I don't have time for you. I mean, at least he's straightforward and honest about what it is that he's doing.
He's brazen.
Anyone who is shocked, well, of course it's brazen, but, you know, isn't he also the one who said, you know, I've just got too much power. No one man should have this much power.
No, it's really cool.
My God.
His spokesperson, after he said this, he said in response to comment why he made this statement about I only listen to lobbyists that give me money, and his response was, well, he likes to get back to the original base voters and hear what they have to say. I'm like, wow, dear Lord, that is some tap dancing. If you haven't seen it, it is a mess.
The Supreme Court has said that money is a form of speech, and he apparently wants to hear people who speak the loudest.
Yes.
I don't. And by the way, anybody who is shocked about how EPA is going, did you not see this coming?
Oh no, I didn't.
I guess the ludicrousness of so much of it is sort of interesting, you know, but I mean, it's all of what you presumed to happen happening. Well, all right. We hoped we were wrong, but we're not. It's just fascinating. And in that sort of a scary sort of way, tomorrow in the Senate Judiciary Committee, which is chaired by Iowa's Senator Charles Grassley, this is when the special counsel protection law is going to come up. And I love how the huge Trump fans on Fox have just skewered Grassley, including during an interview, saying, how dare you bring this bill up? And Grassley, and I know, you know, many of the people listening are still going to be yelling Merrick Garland at the radio when I talk about Senator Grassley, but his response was, look, there were three bills floating around. I said to my colleagues, you people come up with one bill, and I'll make sure the committee gets a hearing before the committee. I'm not saying I'm in favor of it, but I will at least give it the light of day. That is something Mitch McConnell wouldn't do. So at least this bill is coming out, and now you've got a brand new group that Bill Kristol and Linda Chavez and others are sponsoring, Republicans for the Rule of Law, trying to get people to sign an online petition saying, do not fire Mueller, do not fire Rosenstein, you're going to kill what's left of our party. So all is not well in the GOP.
It's Zinke. It really is. It's geology, boy. It's got to be.
Well, no, wait a minute. He probably had. When I was a kid, I had a Skillcraft brand rock computer. Right. This is the thing where, you know, you could weigh it and you could polish it. And so therefore, I'm a geologist, too. How's that?
Well, it's what's funny is if you go back and watch the clips of Zinke when he's mentioned he's a geologist, which is a ton of times over the last 2 years, he says it with such glee and, you know, aplomb. Is like, you didn't think anyone was going to go check your college transcripts over at Oregon because he took a few geology courses, but that's not a geologist. And yeah, but of course, I still think the flag that he has his own personal flag that flies around above the Interior Department whenever he's in house. And as a, the fact any guy that comes up with his own flag because he's there, That he is our loon ball of the week. He's got to be.
Now, you know that, by the way, if the AM950 sales staff is listening, loon ball of the week should be a sponsored segment.
Well, it would take us a long time to narrow it down most weeks. We'll have to agree that.
Well, you can sell multiple spots. This is an advertiser's dream right here.
When we do come back, we'll talk. Macron is in the United States, an official state visit, and he took Trump to the woodshed at the Congress. Jeff Stein joins us when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM950. This is my
theme song. Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Hi, I'm Damian Strange, Executive Director of Northeast Minneapolis Arts Association, NEMA, and I'm personally inviting you to Arter World May 18th through the 20th. View artwork of over 650 artists in every medium at more than 50 locations throughout Northeast Minneapolis, including studio buildings, art galleries, homes, storefronts, and local businesses. The artist's open studio tour may include demonstrations, mini workshops, installations, and special exhibitions. Studio tours offer a great opportunity to ask questions, discuss techniques, experience art firsthand, and purchase unique artwork directly from artists. Arter World gives you a unique opportunity to meet the artists who make our community so vibrant and invest in our art community by purchasing artwork that you connect with. For more information, go to NEMAA.org. That's NEMA.org. Looking forward to seeing you at Arter World.
It's time for spring cleaning. Wait, you weren't planning on getting your carpets cleaned this spring? Getting your carpets cleaned is not just about how your home looks. It's about your family's health with all the bacteria and allergens building up. That's why Zero Res uses their patented empowered water so you get a healthy and clean home without soapy, crunchy, dirt-attracting residue. This month, get 3 rooms Zero Resified starting at $139. Plus, this month, save $50 when you get your air ducts Zero Res clean. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spelled backward or forward, it spells the same.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive in New Brighton. I've been in business long enough to know that if you want to stand out, you better be the best. That's why I've assembled a top-notch team of automotive specialists who do the job right the first time. Bringing your car or truck to PJW Automotive is an investment in the future of your vehicle. Try us once and you'll see it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us for his usual Wednesday visit. Jeff, if Trump is getting the cold shoulder from Melania, which he clearly is, from the fact that she denied his kiss, and then the image of her basically swatting away his hand repeatedly is pretty shocking. But don't worry, he's getting love as, you know, Macron's in town, and for a while there, it looked like Trump had found his new BFF forever.
Well, isn't that nice that he has someone to hold hands with, I guess.
I've been to France. You get over there, you're a little more liberal. I mean, it's a different kind of way of life over there. And apparently, they, you know, I don't judge Trump. I mean, he's an attractive man. But needless to say, I mean, it is interesting because traditionally the Republicans have hated the French. And right now, this seems like one of the few people that, at least at the beginning, was giving him some validity.
Well, that's certainly true. But, again, the key phrase is in the beginning. And so now you get Macron coming before Congress, and as you say, just kind of takes a little slap across the face with the dueling gloves to play this out. And I'm sure that Trump will say, well, he had to say that for political purposes on his side. Yeah, okay, whatever.
No, that wasn't a slap across the face with a glove. That was Peter Sellers in the Pink Panther Strikes Again with the gauntlet on his hand, clubbing the beekeeper in the grill with the mace. That was it was twofold. One's obviously, and I agree with the climate change. That's Macron's thing. He has always been critical of it. The points he brought up about the fact that how we can, you know, hand a world off to our kids that's uninhabitable and still think we're pro-life is insane. We have to be caring for the planet. And I mean, and a lot of points there, even some Republicans clapping along with that. But it was the real shockers was his railing against nationalism and talking about using nationalism to drive us back to the dark ages, a very pointed statement at Trump. Which was the real surprising thing was got almost a standing ovation from all the Republicans. Pence hated it, but you know the rest of the Republicans in there thought that was a great speech.
Well, and you can, it's a little different than a State of the Union where we really divide. I mean, when you've got a visiting head of state, by all rights, there should be polite applause throughout on all sides because he's a guest in your home, but I think the exuberance by some of the Republicans went beyond just being a polite host.
Well, and also, as you can attest, you know, one of the things that's really interesting is this is a glimpse of how the world looks at us. And Macron, I mean, you go over there, I mean, there's times when Reagan did his, you know, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall speech. I mean, that was a very important speech because of the, you know, there was that message. You know, Kennedy had the same thing when he had his speech. There are moments where you get a view, if you're in a certain country and a foreign leader comes there and you get a view of this, the fact that he was so pointed and so relentless on the nationalism aspect, the shutting down the borders, that, you know, that Macron was clearly saying we have to have a globalized trade system or else we're going to have suffering on this planet. Yeah, the fact that he was so pointed on that, it does show you that the rest of the world has a very, very unappealing view of Trump and America at this point.
Well, true, but by the same token, when Trump wanted support for an air raid in Syria, he got France involved. And so I think that may have emboldened Macron even more because, well, first of all, you know, obviously America isn't going to go it alone because he joined, right? Mm-hmm. And I suppose he figured, hey, I did you guys a favor, and so now you need to hear the tough love from me. And it also helps insulate him at home, quite obviously, because this way he doesn't just look like a tool of the Americans. I did find that it was interesting, and it means that, you know, I mean, the ugly American is the stereotype, and the current inhabitant of the White House has done nothing to change that image. Now, is that going to serve the country better in the long term or not? He obviously thinks so. There are others who disagree.
Trump's out there ripping that tree up right now. I will say this, though, from what I've understood about the airstrikes in Syria, Britain and France actually working together told the United States, we're going to do this with or without you. And that's when, you know, it does sound more like that. I want to just give you this. The Hill just had this one come on out. Trump's VA pick gave a large supply of opiate painkillers to a military staffer. Wow. We have a new loon ball of the week here.
Okay, it's loon ball of the day. Again, a sustaining sponsorship. This is going to be a gold mine for AM950.
Wow. He gave a large supply of opiates. This is the guy he wants to put in charge of the VA. Wow. Jeff Stein, once again, go find his books, Common Good Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com. Jeff, a pleasure as always. We'll talk to you in a week, my friend.
If we can handle it.
If we can. All right. If we don't, you're loon ball of the week next week. I was just going to say it.
Atta, buddy. There you go.
Take care. Jeff Stein, I'll make sure I post the Iowa politics report coming up here a little bit later on for the day that he mentioned earlier. Trump's VA pick gave a large supply of opiate painkillers to a military staffer. Wow. McAdoo's up next. Have a good one. Till tomorrow. See ya.